Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a
creepy way. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight, what we've all been waiting for, the end of Phase 1 Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Avengers. 2012.
This is the end of a phase.
It is.
What is the demarcation that indicates that we are going to enter a new phase or we've completed one phase?
Usually the end of the Avengers, like each Avengers movie marks the end of a phase, except for the next two phases.
So really not at all.
Well, Avengers is the big one. And then the end of phase two is actually the Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man movie, which comes after Avengers 2. Yeah. And then there's after Avengers Endgame, there is a Spider-Man movie. And then that marks the end of phase three.
And then everything else. We have not seen a phase four movie yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. But we will. Okay. We'll see Black Widow or something first, probably.
Yes, we should have seen it in May.
Yeah. Turns out I'm looking forward to that.
The Black Widow movie?
Yeah. She's my favorite character in this movie, I think. Well, that's not true. Phil's my favorite character in this movie.
Yeah, the best Black Widow movie is Winter Soldier.
Copy that. Well, see, it's funny because I've seen Winter Soldier, but I haven't and I've seen a couple of Phase 2 movies, but I've seen nothing in Phase 3. I've never seen the second Avengers movie. So it's going to be all a journey of exploration from here for me. And Jason, this is your first time seeing this movie, right?
Correct.
Okay, so let's have fresh eyes first. Jason, you have gotten all this point with us. You have watched all these movies leading up to this fantastic first time the Avengers assemble.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, it wasn't awful. I'm this movie, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe how I felt about this movie. I was not interested in this movie as I was watching it almost entirely because it was formulaic and entirely predictable. So nothing in this movie, with the exception of killing off Agent Coulson, which pissed me off to no end, with the exception of that, I didn't see, like, nothing was a surprise to me. It was all predictable. It's almost like I've either seen it before or something else has copied this enough that I've seen that. So it was fine, but I'm going to forget it. It's going to be like bubblegum. It had flavor for a couple seconds, and now it's just this thing I have to figure out to get out of my mouth.
Were you...
That sounded wrong.
Were you the least bit charged at the end of the movie? Like, hooray, like, that was fun.
I don't remember what the end of the movie was like, so you have to do it.
The end of the movie was actually very quiet, and there were no words spoken. But the...
What was the final...
You're talking about the shawarma?
The shawarma, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was... what was the climax of the movie?
Where they close the wormhole, and Tony falls down, and the Hulk saves him.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. I mean, then you see a little bit of the aftermath.
Yeah, I really didn't care. It really wasn't, just really wasn't interested. I mean, I didn't hate it, but it was just so, I don't know. it seemed to me they're trying to cram too much into this movie with too many who I think are primary characters without going, they were going too many directions simultaneously. And so I don't think
I'm worried about the next 18 movies for you, Jason.
Yeah, and that's just phase two.
I'm a trooper. You know, I'll make it. Here's the question I have in comic book lore. So, and you may not know this, but I definitely don't know it, so I'm going to ask. Did Pepper Potts and Tony Stark really have a relationship?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it a relationship as intimated by this movie where they were humping it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Tony's a humper.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of his shtick.
Yeah, Tony humps a lot, so much that he gets the Roy Hobbs treatment at one point.
The Roy Hobbs treatment?
Yeah, one of his humpies shoots him.
Ah, okay.
Sorry. It seems, I don't know, it was just very cliche.
Sure, it's a comic book movie. They're not. Although I do have questions, also. But so, were you disappointed?
No, I went in with deliberately low expectations, so I wasn't disappointed.
That kind of attitude will serve you in a couple of movies.
I had lowered expectations because I figured it was going to be kind of meh. And I didn't hate it. I like the Hulk character, like Mark Ruffalo, much better than Ed Norton. So in this role, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Ed Norton, death to Smoochie. So, but I think, you know, I think Mark Ruffalo was a better choice. And certainly I liked his acting. He seemed to really be into his role, which I appreciated.
The Hulk was funny in this movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was nearly, I dare say, charming.
Yeah.
When he punches Thor during the battle, it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah.
I did laugh. I laughed.
Yep. When he throws Loki around like a rag doll, it also made me laugh.
That too. Mm-hmm.
Just out of ridiculousness.
Yeah. What did you think of Loki, Jason? Did you enjoy his scene chewing?
Yeah. He's a fine villain. I think there was just too many characters and not enough there.
I think I know what you're talking about, or I think maybe I had similar feelings or something. So, but before we get into that, because I do have questions.
way to commit there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm a little tired. It's the end of my week, and it's been a long week, but
anyway. You're a little tired.
Well, yeah, this is not certainly a competition. I think we're super overworked.
I'm pretty punch drunk at this point. So yeah. I appreciate recording early because I will probably be like crying in a corner by 10 o'clock tonight. So,
I will hopefully have been asleep for an hour by 10 o'clock this evening. So Drew, mm-hmm. What was your initial reaction when you first saw it in the theater? And what did you think of it watching it most recently?
This movie marks a few important points in my life. This is the first of the Marvel movies that I did not see in a theater. Because in late 2011, my life changed significantly. My wife had a baby.
It was a lovely way of saying how much she loved you.
So after that, not much movie theater going for me. So, sorry, that's a float plane. Or I guess it's a ski plane now. Yeah, so I had to wait until this came out on video. And I tried to avoid hearing about it. But, you know, of course I couldn't because it grossed, I think, well over $1 billion. This is a huge hit. So people were talking about it, at least on the media I followed. So I heard that it was very well received. So I had very high expectations of it the first time I watched it. So I've been waiting for it and I'd heard that it was good and it did not disappoint me. I loved it. I thought the getting the team together probably took a little bit too long. You know, of course, they had to have conflict before they came together as a team, and that was fine. But I enjoyed the climax of the movie. I thought the action was great. I really enjoyed the humor. And what I really appreciated about this movie is how much they got the characters right. I mean, they really did a huge course correction with Black Widow after Iron Man 2. And she was great. I agree with Jason. I really liked Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. They started to tone down the seriousness of Thor, so that was good.
He seems to be drastically overacting.
But
but
Iron Man like neutralizes that with words. I think they called him Shakespeare in the Park, right? Mm-hmm.
billion and a half worldwide gross.
Yeah, it's huge.
And 1.5 billion.
And again, they continued to nail the character of Captain America. I really enjoy what they did with him in this movie. And things that I didn't even notice until going back after watching several more movies and seeing the seeds that were planted here is pretty incredible. I didn't like his costume in this movie. That's really the only thing that bugs me.
Captain America's costume?
Yeah. But I like the progression of Iron Man's armor. The Chitauri were sort of a faceless villain at the end, but that's fine. But I thought they stuck the landing on this one. A lot of people were concerned that they wouldn't actually be able to do a team-up movie, but I think they made it work. There was a lot of good action, there was good humor, and good progressions in the character that really pay dividends later.
I was paying attention to the Tony Stark versus Steve Rogers, because I understand it comes to something of an end game.
Tony's jealous of him, right?
Yeah.
He's got the throwaway line that this is the guy my dad wouldn't shut up about.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned this before with the other movies. They have the look right. Everything looks right in this movie. I mean, the costumes, sure. But it looks like Captain America. It looks like Thor from the comics. It looks like Iron Man from the comics. It looks like, you know, the Hulk. I didn't like the Hulk in the Ed Norton movie just because the proportions were weird. There was something weird about the Hulk in that movie. And the Hulk in this movie has the benefit of not being in it very long.
Right.
As the Hulk, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
The writing was crisp. I like that. And is this a Joss Whedon joint?
It is.
Okay. He wrote it too.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. So the writing is good. The characters are good. I didn't like the Chitauri. I didn't understand the Chitauri. I didn't understand Loki's here's what I understood.
I'm with you, by the way.
So Loki got pushed off the Bifrost or whatever and sent into oblivion. Somehow he hooks up with the Chitauri and this character, the Other. Mm-hmm. And is that Doctor Doom? You see at the very, 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 or in the middle, mid-end credits?
Thanos.
That's Thanos?
Mm-hmm.
Not the guy who turns, but the guy who's talking to the guy who turns. The guy who's doing his report. It just looked like a side view of, he had like a green cape on and like maybe a metal mask or something, or maybe it was just an alien face. I don't know.
It's just an alien. That's okay. One of Thanos' minions.
Okay, so that doesn't... Okay, so Thanos is
the
off.
Guy with, like, the two thumbs, right?
I don't know. I just, like I said, I saw the profile of it in that little scene and thought, oh. Yeah. But then I thought, well, hold on, because Doctor Doom is, like, a Fantastic Four character, right? So he wouldn't necessarily even be a Marvel property.
He was not.
Yeah, okay.
At the time.
Anyway, do we ever meet Doctor Doom?
In the MCU?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Okay.
They just announced a Fantastic Four movie now that they reacquired the rights.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's coming in a couple years. 2023, I believe.
So are we going to get Jessica Alba back.
Here's hoping.
So, okay, so here's my understanding of the Avengers. So Loki gets banished, somehow hooks up with his alien race way off in the netherworlds of this universe, somewhere far away in this universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then somehow these aliens or whatever, he opens up a wormhole the Tesseract opens up a wormhole. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Loki engineers opening this wormhole, and the Chitauri have this huge fleet of alien monsters or whatever that are going to conquer the Earth for reasons we don't understand, but they're happy to do it. He's going to use them as his army, and he'll get to lord over Earth, who he is bitter about because Earth is his hated brother's favorite planet.
Yes.
And I think, frankly, that the Thor movie did not justify the whole thing about Thor loving Earth. You know what I mean? He was just mm-hmm. sort of, like, banished to Earth and had maybe some fond memories or, a chick he was longing for, but otherwise. Anyway, I don't know. It just seems like... It seems like kind of a low stakes thing.
I don't understand the impetus. Like, it just seems disproportionate.
Loki's motivations?
Yeah, he wants to just tear shit up because he's angry and jealous of his brother.
Mm-hmm. And he's the god of mischief.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not really mischief as much as it is want and destruction. Well, yeah. Mischief is making his underwear two sizes too small.
No, but he's...
That's mischief.
But I think the idea of that is that he's not doing any of the destruction, really. He's making other people do it by manipulation and other mischief.
Mm-hmm. How did that work out for Charles Manson?
Oh, it's not a winning strategy. I mean, Agent Coulson told him to his face. It wasn't going to work.
Yeah, that's the fun part of Loki is his even though his motivations might seem obtuse, you get the sense that he doesn't really care. He just likes to watch the chaos.
Yeah,
like every time just shit's going haywire, he always has that sort of shit-eating grin.
Yeah, he's a good villain, and the character mm-hmm. is looks right again. And I like that that Nick Fury is, I guess, what's the right term? He's definitely goal-oriented and maybe a bit Machiavellian in his methods.
Yes.
He is manipulating several systems and in lots of people.
He is a spy. He acquires and manipulates assets.
Okay, so, let's just review. So, Nick Fury is a spy master, mm-hmm. whatever, right? So, he's George Smiley. And Natasha Romanoff is a spy. Is
Clint, she's an assassin, sure. Okay.
Is Clint Barton also a spy / assassin, or is he a mercenary, or is he... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so none of these people are traditional superheroes. They're just working they all have bosses.
Black Widow and Hawkeye, they in this universe, they work for S.H.I.E.L.D. They are S.H.I.E.L.D. employees.
Okay, but they were employees of other people at other times.
I suppose. Yeah, I mean, well, we know that Black Widow, especially...
Well, she alludes to it.
Pretty dark history, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what that dark history actually is. So I assume that will be explored in further movies?
Yeah.
Hopefully the Black Widow movie?
Probably not.
Ah, okay.
you'll know in a couple movies. You'll have enough detail to understand.
All right. So Winter Soldier, you say, is peak Widow. Widow Peak? Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so let's go through the plot here. Because this, again, there's a lot of moving pieces to it, but it's not like it's a huge, complicated plot. We have Loki, Tom Hiddleston.
It's a long movie, but the last 45 minutes is just one battle scene.
Yeah, I had issues with that too. But anyway, okay, so we got Loki, right? Tom Hiddleston, mm-hmm. who does a great job. I mean, again, he chews scenery like no other. Love it. Wouldn't want anybody else in that role. He encounters the other, a leader of an extraterrestrial race known as the Chitauri. In exchange for retrieving the Tesseract, a powerful energy source of unknown potential, the other promises Loki an army with which he can subjugate Earth. Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson, also can't imagine anybody. Actually, all of these people, turns out, they were really well cast. I have complaints with anybody. So a director of the espionage agency S.H.I.E.L.D. and his lieutenant agent Maria Hill, Kobe Smulders, from How I Met Your Mother, arrive at a remote research facility during an evacuation where physicist Dr. Eric Selvig, Stellan Skarsgård, is leading a research team experimenting on the Tesseract. Okay.
So far, so good.
Yep. Oh, by the way, we see one picture of Natalie Portman. So perhaps she will. She got a tiny bit of residuals or something for that.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Agent Phil Coulson, Clark Gregg, explains that the object has begun radiating an unusual form of energy. The Tesseract suddenly activates and opens a wormhole, allowing Loki to reach Earth. Loki takes the Tesseract and uses his scepter to enslave Selvig and a few other agents, including Clint Barton, Jeremy Renner, Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye, to aid him in his getaway.
Yeah, my biggest complaint about this movie is how dirty they did Hawkeye in it.
I don't like
this
Hawkeye.
This is the first time. This is the first time that Hawkeye got any significant screen time, and they mind controlled him. That was some bullshit.
Yeah,
I'm still upset about it.
Okay. In response to the attack, Fury reactivates the Avengers Initiative. Which we had heard a little bit about in a post-credit scene of Iron Man 2 or something?
Iron Man, first time.
Oh, okay.
And then in Iron Man 2, they said Tony couldn't join because he's a lunatic.
Yes. Seems right.
Mm-hmm.
So then we see, by the way, Agent Natasha Romanoff, Scarlett Johansson, when she gets activated, it's great. It's a great mm-hmm. little piece. It's wonderful. I love the way she, when she's talking on the phone and she starts talking trash about the Russians or whatever, about how she's getting all, they're giving her all this information, and the general, whatever, is like, I'm not giving her any information. She just gives him a look like, dude, I'm on the phone.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that part. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a great introduction scene. That scene alone redeems all of Iron Man 2 for her.
Yeah. Yes, because she didn't throw her hair around.
Right.
Yeah. Which was
her
nice.
Wig.
Her wig.
She didn't have an awful wig, yeah.
But she gets, actually, she does a lot of duty in this movie. I mean, she gets sent off to do lots of stuff. So she goes to, what is it, Calcutta?
Yeah, well, she's not really paying much attention to Coulson until he tells her that Hawkeye has been compromised.
Yes.
And that's when she springs into action. So that certainly is the first indication we have that they have a deep relationship.
Yes, they have a history.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gets off, she's goes to recruit Dr. Bruce Banner, who's hiding away. And their exchange is great. Again, great dialogue. Mark Ruffalo really does really good work, I think.
Yeah. Now that I've seen Avengers a few times, this is probably my favorite scene to revisit because they get so many things right. They get Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner is great. And Scarlett Johansson in this scene as Black Widow is equally as great. When he acts angry for a second, she looks genuinely terrified about what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really great reaction.
And he's just messing with her.
Mm-hmm. And he's so, like, nebbish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And twitchy.
Yeah. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we have Coulson visiting Tony Stark to check Selvig's research. And that's funny because, you know, again, Clark Gregg, his character is kind of like the other version of Romanoff, like the male Romanoff, as far as just persuading people to do what he wants them to do, except with no, he doesn't really have any like menace to him as far as violence, but he's just going to go in and get what he wants.
Yes, he's confident and determined.
Yeah. So that's
It's got that straight white guy energy.
Woo! I think I mention it every time, but he was great in the New Adventures of Old Christine.
Mm-hmm. He's great in everything.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
I've seen much of it.
Okay. I assume he's good in that, too?
He's good.
Cool. And is Kobe
Smulders in that? Sometimes the show's not good.
Ah.
Sometimes, occasionally, not really.
Okay. So, again, Tony Stark has his own thing. He and Gwyneth Paltrow are, you know, just about to get it on or whatever. But, of course, Tony Stark is interrupted. And
really good chemistry between the two of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to like Gwyneth Paltrow, but I did like her in this movie.
Yeah. It turns out she actually is sometimes very charming.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, I loved her. I love that movie, though.
Yeah.
So, Ben Stiller, not so much, but I'm not a big Ben Stiller fan. So, but she was fine. She was overwrought in parts of this movie. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, she's doing her thing. It's a small thing.
This movie's like lukewarm oatmeal. Like, I could eat it, but meh.
Well, and then we have Fury.
I'm just going to take this opportunity to say that Wes Anderson can go fuck himself.
Okay. See, what we really need is a twee Steve Rogers. Okay. So Steve Rogers with a ukulele. Anyway, okay. So we have Fury talking to Steve Rogers, Captain America, about doing his first modern Captain America business, right? Like he's been out of sight. He's just training and getting his bearings, right?
Just killing some heavy bags.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is an example of how manipulative Nick Fury is. He talks to Steve Rogers like he has a mission.
Yeah. Instead of just trying to get him together to do this thing, or what do you mean?
He treats him like he's a soldier.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
And so he invokes the spirit of his training, which is reflexive, right? To a certain degree.
Yep. And then he shows him the picture of the Hydra tech.
Oh yeah. So, in Stuttgart, you're welcome.
Well done.
Thank you. Barton steals iridium needed to stabilize the Tesseract's power while Loki causes a distraction.
He skipped the helicarrier.
Well, yeah, I have a problem with the helicarrier, too.
The helicarrier is something that is from the comic books, and it's a big deal in the comic books. SHIELD has just helicarriers all over the place. And it's the dumbest thing. And when I figured out they're actually doing the helicarrier in this movie, I was really apprehensive. But again, the special effects are good. For a ridiculous concept, they made it look, you know, as good as possible.
The helicarriers are very prominent in the Lego games.
I'm just saying, the helicarrier was just a reason to sell toys. Maybe not because it's got all this history in the comic books, but still, that the first thing I thought is, I bet you they sold a lot of those Captain Flag chips for the G.I. Joe guys too, didn't they?
I don't remember.
You remember, was it maybe General Flag or something? The name of the boat? The aircraft carrier? No?
No.
I think Scott Looney had one.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway. Only kids. They get everything.
Boomerang.
So, helicopter. Yeah.
Stuttgart.
Stuttgart, yeah. So we have Loki causing this big distraction, and then we have Roger, Stark, and Romanoff that, again, this is, I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It's a kind of a fun set piece, but they just kind of capture Loki.
He gives himself up.
Yeah. And then they take him to the helicarrier where they have the glass room that you can just drop him. Like, what? That's their secret weapon, is they could just drop you out of the sky.
The Hulk cage?
Yeah. The Hulk cage wasn't going to work on the Hulk, was it?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can you put a demigod or demigod, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to keep.
Demiglaze.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to make a Bruce Willis joke, but.
I was going to. I can't say her name without saying Dindy Moore.
I know that's where we both went different directions with the same joke.
True. No.
No, I'm concerned that Jason was going to go end up with a semen reference in his joke.
And I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. So.
This is where you brought us. I don't know why.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So then, they arrest Loki. Loki gets escorted to the helicarrier, and then Thor shows up to free him and get him to abandon his plan and return to Asgard. So anyway, after confronting Stark and Rogers, Thor agrees to take Loki to S.H.I.E.L.D.'s flying aircraft carrier, the helicarrier. Upon arrival, Loki gets imprisoned while Banner and Stark attempt to find the Tesseract.
Well, you yada yada'd what was an unnecessary but still fun fight scene with Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor.
It went on too long.
Yeah, I mean, they're setting up, you know, the interaction with Thor's hammer and Captain America's shield. And
yeah.
And the lightning and the Iron Man armor.
Is that an attempt to make it appear that they have different talents, but they're all equal in strength?
I don't know. They're definitely not all equal in strength, but that if they could figure out a way to work together, the sum of the parts. Right?
Syzygy.
Yeah. But I did really enjoy when Iron Man headbutt Thor, and Thor just gave him a headbutt back.
Yes.
That was a fun movie.
That's the thing, is there's a lot to. At first, I was going to write off some of the action. This is being strictly video game type action, like especially when Steve Rogers jumps around in the helicarrier to like goes from level to level by jumping on the stairways or whatever exposed areas. It just looks like something you would do in a video game, but. The fact that there was humor all the way through, not that part of it. Again, I don't like that part of it very much, but there's humor during most of the fights. It's pretty great.
It appears to run on some sort of electricity.
Yes. Yeah. Hilarious.
Loki's been manipulating them the whole time. And Tony and Banner have been working on the scepter, trying to figure out what makes that thing tick and why he can control minds with it. While also searching for the Tesseract because it emits gamma radiation, apparently.
Yes, which is what Banner's for.
Because
They keep saying, oh, they don't need Banner for the other guy. They need him for his gamma skills.
Yeah, but we also get the first inkling that treating Captain America as a soldier when you are actually a spy agency is not very compatible when he figures out that S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't just experimenting with the Tesseract to provide sustainable energy for the world.
Yes.
They keep mentioning phase two, which is actually Tesseract powered weapons. As he points out, just like Hydra.
Yeah.
There's also, before Hawkeye attacks, there's also a really good scene with Black Widow and Loki.
Yes.
Where she gets him to reveal his plan.
Yeah, because her skills work even on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's again, that's the best thing. That's like her character, her ability, and she pulls it off. It's her acting that pulls it off, that she's able to manipulate all these people. It's great. Works wonderfully.
Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah. So Loki is trying to pit everybody against each other, right? I mean, is the idea that Loki is basically going to provoke the Hulk to destroy them all?
Yes. Yeah, that was his whole deal. He was going to weaponize the Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I know there are other Hulk things that are quite fun. So I will wait, and I'm looking forward to seeing, like, Ragnarok, to see what they do with the Hulk there. So Hawkeye and his band of Loki people show up, and they disable one of the engines, and also they cause Banner to transform into the Hulk, and so we have fighting, and we have Romanoff fighting against Barton, sort of reluctantly.
Well, they board the
helicarrier.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They board it to take it over, and I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe to extricate Loki. I don't know.
Yeah. And also to disable S.H.I.E.L.D., right? I mean.
Right.
So. Yeah. Because they go in guns blazing. And actually, Nick Fury gets a couple of cool little action scenes himself. You know, I mean, he's.
Yep.
Yeah. So everybody gets a little action. One person gets a little too much action, but oh.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. So Thor is trying to stop the Hulk, and Tony and Steve are trying to fix the damage engine, and Romanoff knocks out Hawkeye and breaks his mind control by smashing him in the face, or smashing his face into like a metal pole or something.
Cognitive realignment?
Yes.
Rehabilitation?
Yes. And then Loki is interrupted by Coulson, who's got one of the Phase 2 guns, who comes in and tells him to get up, or to give up, sorry. And they're very polite, calls him sir, and Loki kills Coulson and ejects Thor from, because, you know, I skipped that part where Loki captured Thor in the Hulk cage.
Thor falls for his shit every time.
Yeah. Yeah, which he mentions, which is great. Again, Thor, I like the Thor character because the Thor character is a dumb guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So
again, even later in the movie, when they're fighting during the big battle, Thor is trying to talk him into coming with them. And Loki stabs him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like every time.
Yeah, so we get a actually very sad Coulson death.
Yes.
I mean, it's cheesy. But it's effective.
No, it's anger inducing.
Yeah, he gotcha. Yep. Yeah. And by the way, you got to tell us, how do they resurrect Coulson? Do they retcon him back to life? Is he in the other Avengers movies?
No, he stays dead in the movies, but he is, he's resurrected on the team. Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
He's in, Captain Marvel, right?
Yes, that's true. Nick Fury uses an experimental technology and infuses Agent Coulson with Kree blood.
Ah.
Oh.
So he plays Zydeco music?
Funny. Eric may not know who the Kree are, but I do.
Yeah, I don't.
From Guardians of the Galaxy.
Again, so. I assume they play Zydeco music.
Yeah, this does not go well for Coulson.
Ah, okay. So he was better off where he was.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So Coulson, everybody's favorite character. The only character that hasn't pissed you off during this whole thing. Right? Pretty much.
They're still not pissed off at him.
Yeah. And yeah, so he dies, and Fury, again, being a cold manipulator, uses his death, including dipping his Captain America trading cards in Coulson's blood.
Or somebody's blood.
Or somebody, exactly. Somebody's blood. In order to inspire the Avengers to assemble. because they are still fighting amongst themselves. And Stark and Rogers realize that for Loki...
You want to know the flashback I had at that point in the movie?
When Coulson died?
No, when he's talking about rallying everybody and how he had to do it with the blood and the blah, 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 and how he's getting everybody back. It reminded me of that point in Primary Colors where John Travolta is talking at the funeral about how Libby died and how he wishes she was there. And this is her rally cry now that she's dead to get them to all come back together. That's what went through my head.
See? Leadership.
You know? Exactly. Yep.
It's like there's going to be a 1% reference. Nobody's going to get that reference.
But. Fury is such a tremendous leader. It's great.
Well, Fury is the Bill Clinton of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's true. Yeah.
By the way, in the background, I didn't mention
he does smoke cigars in the comic books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So in the background, by the way, Fury has other masters.
Put that thing away, Jason.
What's that?
Put that thing away.
Jason has whipped out his cigar.
Magnum 50.
I'm all throwing. Anyway, in the background, by the way, the National Council or something? I forget what is the
Security Council.
So, the World Security Council, who includes like Powers Booth, who you recognize mm-hmm. just from his silhouette.
Curly Bill.
Yeah, but yep. Also Jenny Agutter.
Nurse Ratched?
No, I don't think so.
No,
she was the nurse in American Werewolf in London.
Oh, okay.
She was in Logan's Run too. Yeah,
you'll see more of her later.
Oh, do you? Okay. So, Stark and Rogers realize that for Loki, simply defeating him isn't enough. He needs to overpower them publicly to confirm himself as the ruler of Earth. And Loki uses the Tesseract and a wormhole generator to open a wormhole above Stark Tower to the Chitauri fleet in space, launching his invasion. Okay? So, Roger Stark, Romanoff, Barton, and Thor rally in defense of New York City, the wormhole's place.
Because Banner's off chilling with Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the most perplexing cameos ever.
But it was great. Mm-hmm. It was fun. The helicarrier thing, the whole thing about Iron Man spinning around with the rotors and then has to hit with the flywheel to get out. I mean, sure. But it just seemed kind of low rent. You know what I mean? I mean, it looked good. But mm-hmm. when you thought about it, it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Plus, well, he had to have a reason to go get his new armor.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, so it's this final fight in New York City. New York City! And we have some New York references. We've got...
Great. Well, before that starts, a great, great monologuing and stalling by Tony Stark with Loki.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
With the drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, it turns out Loki... maybe because of his dramatic nature, he likes to himself do a monologue. He engages other people and lets them do their monologues. Like the Coulson thing. Like the one thing you do with Loki is you can talk to him. So Banner arrives, transforms the Hulk, and together the Avengers battle the Chitauri while evacuating civilians. The Hulk finds Loki and beats him into submission.
Is that a Jose Cuervo in the background?
Is that Drew? Is that a picture of Drew? Certainly not.
is there the Jose Cuervo in your background? Is that what that is?
What? Oh, that's Iron Man.
Was okay. This a Christmas party or a Halloween party you went to?
That's the image you find if you Google search worst Avengers cosplay.
Oh. It's hilarious. I thought,
oh my.
You know, I mean, Captain America looks a little like Drew in that, but I don't know.
No.
I do like Meatloaf, though, is Thor.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Yeah. So, I don't want to be this guy, but...
You're going to be anyway.
Well, I am, yeah. Because, again, this is all 2012 commentary, really, but How many people die in New York City because of this? A lot of people. Shit is tore up. And I assume it's addressed in some point in the future movies. Or not? Okay.
It's mentioned for sure.
Okay. But yeah, you know, sometimes you need something big like an alien invasion to bring us all together. Like a 9/11 kind of thing.
One of my favorite explorations of the aftermath is actually Spider-Man Homecoming.
I think in a universe where we are already knowledgeable that superheroes exist, a mass casualty event is probably not outside the realm of imagination. So not that that makes it all better, but I don't know that anybody's really surprised that these crazy aliens from another world come and obliterate citizens.
Yeah, you know, some jackwagon in Alaska doing a podcast would be like, I knew fucking Stark was involved. I hate that guy. Like, shit is burning in New York City, and we know that Tony Stark's involved. Jackass. Thinks he's so smart. Having Elon Musk over to the house. Anyway. Burn the rich, man. Eat the rich.
Okay, Abby.
It's so funny. After watching that movie, I don't want to be that version of Abby. I want to be that version of Jerry Rubin.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see it, Drew?
I did not.
Okay.
It's well worth a watch.
I think so. Drew, did the Chitauri big guys, did they remind you a little bit of Shin Godzilla?
A little bit, yeah.
That's what I was thinking of through the 25 minutes or whatever they are on the screen. Because there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of the Chitauri. And again, I don't know what it would have been better. Like, I think maybe some sort of frost giant action might be better, but they don't probably fly around in those. You know what? Okay, I just thought of it. It's the Green Goblin. They were all the Green Goblin flying machine things.
I mean, they're better than, like, dark elves.
I suppose. Although there might be some more arrow play in that Hawkeye can be involved in. I like the fact that, by the way, they never refer to Natasha as Black Widow. They never refer to Hawkeye as Hawkeye, right? They mention he has good eyesight, and he's going to be in a high position to direct traffic. But
He mentions that in the beginning of the movie.
He calls himself Hawkeye?
No, he mentions his eyesight.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nick Fury's like, why are you up there? I told you to keep an eye on things. He's like, I look better. I see better when I'm far away.
Yeah. Like a hawk. Caw! Caw!
I just think Spencer Verhaer when I hear hawk, so.
Crack an egg on it.
Caw-caw!
I learned that from my brother who told me about his niece's obsession in 2017. Okay, so
I love this battle. They got so many things right. They got Captain America taking charge. His fighting style continues to evolve. I enjoy that. He really impresses the little girl from Family Ties.
Oh, so by the way, was that her? By the way, that was Tina Yothers.
No. The late season edition.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with her, but she did have like a disco eyeball, right? I mean, I don't know. Something off about her. Anyway, I like that, to interrupt. I like the fact that Captain America uses a gun. Yeah, he's a soldier. He knows how to use a gun.
Yeah, I mean, he picked up that assault rifle on the helicarrier, right? Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, again, superheroes for a while, except unless in the case of, what is it, Frank Castle, were pretty much it was a no gun zone. And this was like a special like laser gun or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, you remember that Steve has military training. I interrupted. Okay. You like
I was saying that they gave everybody their moment. They gave Banner the iconic line of you want to know what my secret is? My secret's that I'm always angry.
Yeah. Great.
It doesn't necessarily make sense if you think about it too hard, but It was good in the moment.
I believed it though.
Yeah.
Well, his conviction.
It's not a lie if you believe it. Yeah. you got the iconic, you know, spinning hero group shot when they're all together.
Yeah.
It was a great moment. And the music is really good.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one thing I really appreciate about all of the Avengers movies is the music starts out good. You know, way to go, Alan Silvestri. And it gets better. And yeah, the music in Avengers Endgame is just... It's right up there. It's an all-timer with all of the iconic movie themes.
Really? I can't wait then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yeah, this was great. This is like a full-on score. This is like a John Williams sort of score. Mm-hmm. This is Alan Silvestri?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, everybody gets something to do.
Not it.
No. Yeah, and they're all... I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yep. And, like, there's... This is what, again, what Joss Whedon does right, is he just writes good dialogue. He is, mm-hmm. if you will, sorry, Drew, he is the Aaron Sorkin of this kind of thing. Jason, have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
No.
Okay.
Should I?
Yes. We need to watch Cabin mm-hmm. in the Woods altogether. It's theoretically, it might fall under the category of a horror movie, but it's not. And it is so good.
Is it more suspense?
No.
No. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin really described
it. No, yeah, we don't want to describe it too
much. That's fine. Yeah. I wrote it down.
Because it's got fun stuff in it. Yeah, so then we, of course, have the climactic scene where Stark takes the nuclear missile and shoves it up the wormhole. Possibly.
Actually, his own through life. The wormhole
yeah.
into the Chitauri ship, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Or whatever it is, if it was a big insect or I don't know, it wasn't clear.
Is it?
Unfortunately, because of some late in life political rantings, this makes me think of Randy Quaid every time.
Yeah.
That's well so done.
I mean, and it's a little bit Slim Pickens, right?
Yes.
I mean, not quite, but yeah.
A little bit.
And then it's, you know, we have, you know, of course, Tony's not going to die because the only one who dies in this movie is Phil. Like, you can't kill anybody until later in the phases. Yeah, the Hulk ends up saving the day. Or saving Tony, sorry. Everybody right. saves the day. You know, the world's happy. The world gets heroes. Nick Fury's his plan came together. He's a diabolical mastermind. We have an Agent Hill, who hopefully she'll have more to do in later Avengers movies. Okay.
Is there somebody that replaces Agent Coulson, or they just use some other gimmick, some other band leader?
No, I mean, one of his main functions was the through line in the gathering of the Avengers.
Yeah, so, he's the one that shows up.
Yeah, he's the one that sort of he appears in all the movies. I guess so does Nick Fury, but yeah, he's the one. So he is. His presence is missed, but his function isn't really necessary going forward.
Gotcha. Understand.
Oh, nice. The first couple seasons of S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually intertwine with the movies quite closely.
Now, are the agents and agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. superheroes, or are they underlings, or are they just agents?
Yep.
But it's nobody big name that we would recognize.
No.
Okay. So at least they didn't like recast for TV superheroes that were already in vehicles.
No, they didn't. Like a couple of the movie characters show up in the early seasons, like for one episode
as themselves, like as the yeah. real. Okay. I can respect that.
Like Sif is in an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We haven't met Sif yet.
We've met Sif.
Have we met Sif? Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah, she was in Thor.
Yeah, okay.
She's an Asgardian.
Yeah.
Nick Fury is on S.H.I.E.L.D. occasionally.
Still, Sif means something very different in my world, so.
Yeah, you definitely need some antibiotics, right? Stat. If you get the Sif.
Yeah. What does Sif mean in your world?
Syphilis.
Communicable disease jokes. That's great.
Yes. There's clammy. There's Sif.
Clammy?
Clammy.
Yeah.
Clammy. I've never heard that before.
It's not a flower. Chlamydia is not a flower.
I'm sure I've told you this, but it's one of my favorite things ever. It's where I heard a caller talking to a paramedic dispatcher, and the paramedic dispatcher is asking questions. And one of the questions is, okay, are you clammy? And the answer was, no, I'm Stephanie. It's very funny.
Or my sister, Gonoria.
Exactly.
In a much, much later movie, someone very funny actually comments on the Chitauri.
Okay, cool.
So just keep that in your back pocket.
Oh, it's okay. An Easter egg.
Yeah. Again, this just sounds like nitpicking because I like this movie. It was fun. At the end of it was fun. It's a long movie. But, I think it pays off. And there are a lot of main characters, so you got to get them all together and they got to do their thing. But I thought it was just weird and convenient that all of a sudden they've got the ball gag and the handcuffs for Loki just all ready to go.
It was probably in Agent Coulson's locker. That's what he does in his off time.
Yeah, well.
Nick Fury found it when he was looking for the cards.
Exactly. And then they take the Tesseract and is Loki going willingly back to Asgard or is this against his will? I mean, it seems like, I don't know. I guess they have a very complicated brother relationship.
I don't think it's willing. I mean, okay. He's going possibly to be put to death by Odin.
There's that. I'm sure
So Thor can just transport people back and forth.
That's not Thor doing that. That's Heimdall.
Oh, that's right.
And is it Heimdall? And because did they repair the Bifrost or whatever? Is that?
I don't know.
Okay,
never addressed.
Doesn't matter.
At the end of Thor, he can never return to Earth until he does.
Okay. Yeah. So. yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah, and so they kind of go their individual ways,
No, they don't.
Well, no, Bruce. Well, sorry, everybody. It's very cliquish, these people, because Bruce and Tony are together and
tech bros, right?
Yeah, and then Romanoff and Barton have a past or whatever. Steve's a loner, and Fury's like, yeah, they'll be back when we need them. They'll come back. I got their number. And then we have the mid-credit scene where that Dr. Doom lookalike was talking to Thanos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the post-credit scene of them just sitting around, just weird. It's just a weird scene where they're eating shawarma, not talking at all. Yeah, it's just bizarre. As the owners are just sort of
cleaning up after the disaster.
Yeah.
So they're distracted by their cleaning up their disaster to feed superheroes.
And they brought them back much later. Joss Whedon decided to shoot the scene way later. And Chris Evans was shooting another movie in which he'd grown a beard for.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why he could never move his hand from his face.
That's funny. Yeah. It's a weird time. So. Jason, you said you thought it was fine, but you're not going to watch it again anytime soon.
No. I mean, I could get tricked into watching it because I don't know that I'll remember almost any of it, but C plus, maybe B minus, maybe, but that's
rough.
So, Drew, I assume it's worth it.
This movie is absolutely worth it. This movie's a blast. I love this movie.
Yeah, me too. It took us, what, 6 movies to get here?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So this is, I like it. If it all stopped right here, it'd be fine. But it didn't.
Yeah.
It just exploded from...
At least now we don't have to sit through any more origin stories.
Oh, well. Yeah, because, so in Phase 2, who is introduced? Ant-Man is introduced, right?
Yes.
Because Phase 2 is kind of small, right? And then Phase 3 just is huge.
Yes. Phase 2 also has Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
It's a weird entry because it comes right before the next Avengers movie and it features none of the Avengers.
Yeah. Well, you guys talked about it lovingly.
Mm-hmm. It's a good movie.
Yeah. I'll have to eventually watch it. So are we done with the Avengers talk and we're off to housekeeping?
Sure.
Jason, you actually literally have housekeeping to talk
about. Yeah, I was going to say housekeeping is a very sensitive word right now. There is a U-Haul in my driveway, a 20-foot U-Haul. We are going to be packing things up, some things tonight, and moving them over and unpacking them and continuing that for the bulk of the next 3 days. So,
20 foot? How long is the drive?
20 miles.
Okay.
But we've been taking little stuff over or medium stuff over, but there's just some stuff that's not going to fit in the SUV at all ever. So, mm-hmm. And Jesse's like, just run a pickup truck. I'm like, we would have to drive that pickup truck 1,000,000,000 times. Like, I want to get a vehicle that's going to scare the fuck out of me. So I drive it once. And so we get it done.
Well, the nice thing about it, like a box van, like you're talking about, is that nothing will fly out of it onto traffic. Ideally.
Like you hope.
A pickup truck, you can kill a motorcyclist easily with a mattress that comes flying out of that because it's not tied down enough.
It's got plenty of room, and we've been triaging stuff already. So, and because of the leisurely pace, like my kitchen is already set up and ready to go in the new place.
So jealous.
The pantry is done. I put together our new bed frame. It's IKEA, so it took me.
It's an hour and
a lot of swearing. Yes. They delivered. I had to get an electric dryer in the short term because I can't get anybody to come around a gas line. So I just bought a cheap electric dryer for the short term. So my clothes are all going to get shrunk and ruined. So that'll be fun.
Gas dryers don't shrink clothes.
My gas dryer is super sophisticated and expensive, and it uses an eco-dry system that barely uses heat, but tumbles more. So it's extra low heat. And finding an extra low heat electric dryer, is like $1,100. And it's not in my income range.
It's cheaper to just run a gas line then?
It will be eventually.
Yeah.
But I can't get anybody this time of year to come out and even look because their priority is furnaces.
Makes sense.
So they're like, well, we got you on the call sheet. And if we get caught up, we'll send somebody out to look. But we wouldn't expect anybody before March. So I'm like, oh, well, that's my answer. So I just got a cheap one from Lowe's. It was pretty bare bones, but it'll suffice. You know, it'll get clothes dry because we have a high efficiency washing machine. The stuff comes out pretty dry anyway.
Yeah.
So that thing spins the crap out of stuff. So my biggest fear is it's going to come falling through the floor into the first floor because the laundry room's on the second floor now. So that will be.
Is your bedroom on the second floor? And
wait, you guys are moving out yourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the ibuprofen ready.
Oh, well, again, not me. There's other people that are going to do it. It's family, not my family.
Not just you and Jesse.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, Jesse and I are doing the stuff that I can reasonably accommodate without killing myself. Like my desk here will be easy. This little IKEA frame thing here, which actually isn't very heavy, is easy. My bookcase is not, like, that will require a couple people. The bookcase in the living room will take a couple people. But the stuff, like the mattress, is nothing. Jesse and I can do the mattress. Jesse and I can do the couch and the love seat and the TV cart. So the little stuff, even the dining room table, but the really heavy stuff, like the fridges and the washing machine. No, I'm not doing that. Nope.
Did you rent like a fridge?
We have a super duper thing from Derek. So
okay, yeah.
Does it still have all of his crap? So we have like a furniture dolly already, and we have one of those over the shoulder harness.
Oh, hey, speaking of that, they just approved the Moderna vaccine. So
oh, good.
You know, that was the one Dolly Parton had a hand in.
Yay.
So I'm sorry, back to your older-the-shoulder harnesses.
Yeah, it's basically a sling for stuff that you put it on. It's basically like a back belt almost. It rides on your shoulders, and you use it in with another person in tandem, and that's how you can lift things without with having it more dispersed in the weight. So yeah. It's kind of a lift agent.
It's like a forearm forklift.
So you're like the washing machine will be able to be more easily carried because you're lifting it with your shoulders and you're able to steer with your hands. So we'll see how that works out. As long as they don't drop it down the stairs. And at this point,
wait, washing machine has gigantic heavy bricks in it.
Again, not my problem. Okay, it's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, don't be at the as I have gotten older,
I'm not even going to be in the house when they do it. I don't even want to watch.
Probably
I'm
just a good idea. Nope.
Take care of it. Nah, I'm good. I got enough to keep me busy. Yeah,
the penalty from being at the bottom of some stairs when a couch falls down, a refrigerator, steep penalty as an older person.
We don't have any. The only really heavy thing that comes out of the basement is the washing machine.
Oh, so you just have everything to take it up.
Everything else is on the main floor. So,
you have to take the washing machine out of your basement and take it up to the second floor of your new house.
Yes.
It's all up for that washing machine.
Yes. It's two moves up for the washing machine. Mm. Plus, I was told I haven't worked for a week, so I don't even know what day it was until earlier this morning. I looked and realized it was Friday. One of my coworkers last week mentioned to me, he goes, you know, you're at elevation where you live now. And I said, well, no, I didn't. He said, yeah, you're at about 1,000 feet. I'm like, oh, well, shit. That's good to know. So the neighbors already told me we're going to have plenty of snow. So bought a shovel.
Yeah.
Nice.
in lieu of the crazy Christmas that's going to not be happening, Jesse was like, here's your Christmas present. I'm like, I'm not opening it till Christmas. And he was like, you got to open it. I'm like, I'm not opening it till Christmas. We're not buying anything for each other other than one thing. So I'm not opening it till Christmas because it's the only thing you're getting because I'm not giving you your gift early. And then, of course, through many carrot and sticks, I just gave him his Christmas present last week. because it turns out I bought him something else anyway. So, but it was kind of I'm glad I gave it to him because it's potentially going to end up being worthless for a little while because I bought him Cyberpunk.
Oh, 2077 or whatever.
Yes, which they've now pulled off the market. So
yeah.
They pulled it off the market?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're because giving you refunds.
Bad content or because it doesn't work?
It shits the bed all the time, right?
Yeah. Yes. So Sony pulled it off the PlayStation store and the manufacturer is offering refunds to everybody.
Yeah. And I think it started the day yesterday with, they said, if you want a refund, let us know. But, then they went to the end of the day. It's like, yeah, we're just going to start refunding people.
If they bought it electronically, but yes. I bought a physical copy. So,
wild,
but we'll see. I don't, who knows what's going to happen. But this is what happens when you rush developers and you make promises when you shouldn't. And I understand the pressure in business to perform, but they just messed it up. They messed it up for the better part of the last year and a half. They kept saying it would be ready and they did this and then it would be delayed and they pissed off their gamer community, which again, the gamer community needs to get over it. Like, it's a new development. It's a major undertaking. You got to expect there's going to be delays. So anyway, so turns out his Christmas present isn't going to be much of a present because I don't know how much he's going to be able to play. He's been playing it in theory, but not much because we've been a little busy. So, but we'll see. I got the internet up at the new house. I got phone up at the new house. Got the Christmas tree up. Jesse got Christmas lights up. I have the rug from that's been in my basement for like 15 years that Derek and I used to argue about all the time.
That's bittersweet stuff.
Oh, yeah. The long story short is that when in the early days, it was Derek and I were living together. One of our mutual friends was in the green zone, working in a medic mobile hospital, during Desert Storm, maybe. I can't remember which war. There's been so many wars. I don't know which one, but anyway,
freedom, whatever.
I don't know. One of those, but he was in basically he was in Afghanistan in a green zone hospital working as a medic. Civilian medic in an army or whatever it is. Anyway, he was having his house built in Rainier, Washington, and he got stuck in wherever he was for like 7 or 8 months because he couldn't get out. So he asked me about a month and a half in if I could go and check on the contractor because the contractor had really kind of stopped responding about what was going on at his house. And he had his house built from like the bricks, the foundation up, like brand new property. And after about the second month I went up there, I had to break the news to him. Like, I think your contractor is robbing you because I don't see much progress. And anyway, long story short, the guy did screw him out of a whole bunch of money. But as thank you, he brought us back two rugs, handmade rugs from, I assume from Afghanistan, but I don't know where they're from. And one's been in my living room on the living room floor ever since. So for 15 years, probably. But the other one was this weird red burgundy color rug. And it never matched anything in the house because the house at that point was green inside. And Derek was like, we should just sell it. Just sell the damn rug. It's in the basement. Sell it. I'm tired of it being there. Sell it. I'm like, it was a gift. I'm not selling it. You know, we put in a lot of effort that resulted in the rug, which wasn't our intent, but, because we were driving up once a week for 3 or 4 months. So, and it's about a 45 to an hour drive. But anyway, we're going to get rid of the rug I have now because it's 15 years old and terrible and awful and green. But the red one turns out it works perfectly in my new house.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
So I was kind of pleased by that because in my pack rat ass had held on to it for this long and I resisted selling it. And
you know, one may say it really ties the room together.
It does. It really does. So, but I also bought a really short Christmas tree cause I forgot. I didn't realize that we had super high ceilings in this house. So my tree looks very small, but it'll be fine. Excellent. So it's just a bunch of busy stuff right now. So after podcast here, then it will be more moving.
Yay!
Very sure. Exciting.
Well, it's I'm very excited for you guys, even though I know it's going to be a pain in the ass.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll be ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it to be over now. So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay.
Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. You got Eric, Drew, and Brother J. Rolling YouTube.